good morning, and a beautiful morning it is. Now, we're coming very close to the end of our study in the life of Moses, as we look in the record of his life for his likeness to Christ. I think I should say, although I have said this or something very like this before, Moses was a most remarkable man. I don't think that any of the great men of God bore such obvious likenesses to the Lord Jesus as did Moses. We'll always find parallels in the life of men like Paul, David, to the Lord Jesus, and to many others that I haven't referred to there. But I think that Moses stands head and shoulders above them all. The Bible says that you and me will one day be like the Lord Jesus if we're saved and we go to heaven. We'll be like him. We'll bear his likeness, bear his image. But it has to be said regarding Moses that he bore a most remarkable likeness to the Lord Jesus before he went to heaven, while he was here on earth, surrounded by all the sin of earth and all the temptations of earth, and having within him, like all men, the weaknesses of the flesh. Yet this remarkable man bore a wonderful likeness to the Lord Jesus. I can't imagine that we will spend nearly as long on anyone else whose life is recorded in the Scriptures as we have spent studying Moses. And I have said before that if I were more able, we could have spent even longer studying the life of Moses, because there's many little incidents and little parallels with the Lord Jesus that we haven't referred to. But, as I say, we're coming to the close of our study regarding Moses, and I want to just make that little comment by way of introduction. Now, I want to look today at a number of things that shows a likeness to the Lord Jesus in the life of Moses. And I want to start with his love for the people of God. Moses had, I think, a most unwearied love for the people of God. Now, he had plenty of reason not to love them. He, on occasions, brokenheartedly complained of the distress that the children of Israel brought to him by their behavior and their attitudes, by their spirit of disobedience and rebellion. He was like a mother or a father who loves their children, and yet the child was constantly rebelling against the mother, the father, and doing that which grieved and broke the heart of the mother and the father. So it was with the children of Israel and Moses. But like the Lord Jesus, he had a tremendous love for that people. Now, I have to say, when I read the life of Moses as it is recorded in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, I'm astounded at how he ever put up with the rebelliousness of Israel. But he put up with it. He wasn't alienated from them. The Song of Solomon, the chapter 8 and the verse 7 says, "Many waters cannot quench love." And that's true concerning that love that there was in the heart of Moses and the love that is in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, his love for Israel is illustrated for us in the chapter 32 of Exodus. Chapter 32 of Exodus. Here is one of the prime examples of the disobedience, the rebelliousness, the defiance, the sinfulness of the children of Israel. Moses has gone up into the mount to see God, called up by the Lord, and he's up in the mountain. Only 40 days, not very long, but during that period, the children of Israel break out, as it were. I think I could say they went mad. The verse 1 says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not or know not what has become of him." It's unbelievable. Just prior to this, the people of God had seen much evidence of the glory and the power of God. Not to mention the plagues of Egypt, the dividing of the Red Sea, and the wonderful miracles of God, the providing of manna for them. It's incredible that in the light of all those things, here they are, saying, "Up, make us gods, make us idols, make us idols." And it's equally astonishing that Aaron, second to Moses, goes along with the people. It reminds me of a modern politician. Whatever the people want, I'll give them. If that's what you want, I'll go along with you. It's so disgusting, it vexes me. But in the same chapter that highlights the wickedness, the disobedience, the defiance and the rebellion of the children of Israel, we have an example of the gracious, merciful heart of Moses. For the Lord knows what's going on down there. Moses didn't know, right up on the top of the Mount Sinai. He didn't know what was happening down in the camp, but the Lord knew. And in verse 7, the Lord says to Moses, while he's still with the Lord up on the mountain, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." See the terms of God there? Sin of the people are separating the people from God. See how God speaks of them? Remember, every word of God is inspired. The Lord says here in verse 7, "Go get thee down for thy people." He doesn't call them "my people," as he has on so many occasions just before this. He's distancing himself from them because of their sin, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. There again, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." God heard every word they said. And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." You know what a stiff-necked people is? It's a term, really, that comes from the agricultural scene in Israel. An animal that you yoked up to a plow or whatever wore harness. And if the animal was a stubborn sort of a beast and it didn't want to do what you wanted it to do, it used to stiffen its neck. I may have told you before that when I was a youngster, I used to have the great joy of maybe going out and bringing in the horse for my neighbours, folks called Johnson. And sometimes I would put what we called the winkers on. That was the harness that goes round its head, you know, and the two big devices that stops the horse seeing too much of what's going on around it. Things that might startle it, you see. It causes the horse just to see that which is in front of it. And the old horse knew that I really wasn't the boss. And when I would go to try and put the winkers on its head, it would lift its head away up into the air, stiffen its neck, and it wouldn't let me do it. And often you'd drop the harness down, arm's length, and as immediately you did that, the horse, the head came down to its normal position. Well, that's the term that's used here, and it illustrates the same spirit, a defiance. "I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm not going to submit to you." That's the attitude of the children of Israel toward the Lord. Verse 10, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." I'm going to destroy them. It was well over 1 million people. God says, "I'm going to destroy them. And I'll start again, as it were, and I'll make of you a great nation." And here's where you see the love that Moses had. Despite the abuse that he had suffered. Verse 11, "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" You see how Moses, as it were, counters what God had said. God had said to Moses, "Thy people, which thou brought out." Moses says, "Thy people, which thou hast brought out with a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn, from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, and I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and this land which I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit for ever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do with his people. Go on down to verse 30. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord, and peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sins. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, O, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Do you understand what Moses was saying there? This shows the greatness of his love. He's begging for the very lives, the very future of the people of Israel. And he says, Lord, blot out their sins. Blot out their sin. And if not, blot me out. Blot me out. Blot me out of the book which thou hast written, the book of life. That shows the greatness of this man's love for the children of Israel. And the love that Moses had for the people of God is paralleled only by the love that the Lord Jesus Christ had for his people. In John chapter 13, and boys and girls, we could fill the day looking up scriptures that refer to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. But in John chapter 13, and in the verse 1, we read, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The unfading, undying, unchanging love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he loved them despite their failings, and their rebellions, and their disobedience. Remember, this is spoken about the Savior in the wake of his declaring unto Peter, you will deny me, Peter. 3 times you'll deny me. I'm saying unto all the disciples, you're all going to forsake me. You're all going to run away and leave me. And still he loved them. Listen to these words from Romans, the chapter 5, the verses 6 and 7. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, boys and girls, if you are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ today, then that love for you will never change. If you know that you are the subject of God's love, then know this, it'll never change. It'll never change. There will be times when you will sense deeply that you have done wrong. You've shamed the Lord. And you don't deserve to be loved. And the devil will then say to you, God has stopped loving you. And that's a darkness indeed, to think that God has ceased to love us. That's what the devil would have us believe. But I tell you this, God's love never changes. It's even greater than the great love of Moses. Rejoice in the love of the Lord Jesus. John the Apostle said, we love him because he first loved us. If we can understand to any degree at all how much the Lord loves us, then our love for him will grow. Our love for him will grow. There's a great old missionary, C.T. Studd, who said words to this effect, if Jesus Christ be God, and he died for me, then there is nothing too great for me to do for him. He saw the love that the Savior had, and out of his heart there came the response of a love, a devotion, a submissiveness, a willingness to do anything for the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. We're bowing in prayer. Lord Jesus, write your word today upon our heart. We've touched upon surely a most wonderful subject. And yet, Lord, we've only touched upon it. What love thou hast for thy people. The unchanging, unfailing, unfading love of Jesus for his people. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for it. Bless the boys and girls. Give them understanding of this. Any that are not saved, Lord, O God, touch their hearts today. Bless the school. Meet its every need. Protect it and provide for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.